Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Colson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
And you have been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives, presented to the public as a dramatic hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you have all been cleared to know the truth. Josh?
Yes?
How was your drive from Istanbul?
I'm just here to talk about Tahiti.
How was your drive from Istanbul?
Wait. I get it. I'll take the number two with large fries, a Diet Coke, no cheese.
How was the drive from Istanbul?
We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. I had a pretty good week.
So wonderful.
I'm glad to be able to talk about the episode here. After another little break, we're back.
Little break. Jeez, yeah. I'm done with breaks.
They're only at episode 14, so I feel like there's got to be at least another break here. But we at least get an episode next week, I know, and potentially the week after that. So we might be on a slight roll here now.
It sounds like all the shows are kind of getting to the top of the ramp here to head into sweeps. Isn't sweeps in is that May?
It's May,
right? Okay, so
right. So
about
might
a month
have a
and
break
a
in early April. You know, spring break break.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think spring break is it where you are.
It's usually toward the end of March. Mine's the last week of March this year. And I know a lot of colleges get out the week before that, but usually right around the end of March.
Okay, I think ours is, I want to say ours is like second week of April, actually.
But, oh, wow, you got late.
You know, like through the 18th or something like that. Well, we're also going really late. Our schools are going late this year. But
That's right around Easter this year. Easter's on April 20th.
Okay, so then it's probably the week before that is our spring break, I'm guessing.
Yep, that's cool. I'm looking forward to spring and break. So
Yes, and this was a very... it seemed to be a sunny sort of episode, at least by the title. What was that title, and can you tell us a little bit about what we watched this week?
Well, we're talking about the episode Tahiti, or, T-A-H-I-T-I, if you're not, into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on a regular basis. But
Now, I feel like we've done this joke before, but what does that mean to you?
What does T-A-H-I-T-I mean, or what is yes. Tahiti? It means someone who's really trying to spell Tahiti.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It's a magical place. So this was episode 14 of season 1, and it originally aired March 4th of 2014. It does, even though we've had these big breaks, it does kind of seem like the year's just going by fast. I almost feel like we should be into season two, but this episode seems like it's kind of picking up the pace too. So this was written by Jeffrey Bell and directed by Bobby Roth, two names that you may or may not recognize, but I can definitely pronounce. So let me tell you just a little bit about what this episode was, and then we'll get into some of the specifics, okay? So it's time for a vacation in a not-so-magical place, as it turns out, because that's where Agent Coulson and his team are going to have to go in order to heal the recently shot Sky. Turns out, S.H.I.E.L.D., though, they don't really like the idea of Coulson taking mean millionaire Quinn with them. So they lock him in the... Good cop, bad cop room on the bus, and bring him along. So S.H.I.E.L.D. sends Agent John Garrett to stop them, and turns out actually Garrett, he's pretty good buddies with our man Coulson, and he decides to give him a hand instead of grabbing Quinn right away. So they discover they have to go to a place called the Guest House to find what they're looking for.
Oh, that's a nice sounding place.
Yeah, the Guest House. The Guest House in Tahiti.
Yes.
I mean, this, to me, sounds like a spring break idea.
That is a vacation right there.
It does. So, well, as they arrive at the Guest House, really they just uncover a new slew of mysteries. Mysteries about S.H.I.E.L.D., about Nick Fury, about what goes on in the Guest House, and creepy blue guys in tubes.
Zoinks!
So,
yeah. I just hope, you know, whenever you go to a Guest House, always make sure you leave it the way you found it. I hope they did that.
I don't think they separated the recycles and the trash as they left. So, I think there was some differences, just slight differences. So, but that's what this one was about, and that was a lot in one episode. There was a lot of action in this episode.
So, immediately watching the episode, the only thing that really stood out to me was, you know, the last, let's say, 10 minutes. That very tense episode this week. I'm glad I stuck with the series because I feel like this is paying off. It pays off in a different way than Arrow does, which is another show that you and I talk about over on the Green Justice podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Arrow kind of gives you something at every commercial break or every time they transition a storyline because they've got the flashbacks and stuff. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., to me, it seems like it really only pays off at the end of the episode. It's a very linear episode, and it's about whatever is happening in that episode, and then at the end, they take the next step. It's not like they're giving you breadcrumbs along the way. Though there are a few things, it's just not as dramatic, dynamic, I guess. I don't know.
Can I make a little comparison? And you know, people may or may not agree with this, but as I watch it, this is kind of what occurs to me. Now, early on in the series, you and I had talked because if you listen to our show, you know that I am not well versed in Marvel lore in my history. Mm-hmm. It's much more of DC history, and I have nothing against Marvel. That's just kind of what I grew up with.
Sure.
As I've been watching this show, you know, I've been going back and trying to catch up, and you know, you were kind enough to share with me some old Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. comics. Mm-hmm. From
Strange Tales, I believe.
Yeah, from 70s,
late
right?
Late 60s, early 70s.
Late
60s,
early 70s, yeah. And which, by the way, I absolutely love. I love vintage comics like that. And those were even, you know, slightly before the ones that I grew up with. But not too much, though, because I used to read my dad's comics, too. But anyway, so I would say, now, you compared it to Arrow, and Arrow is very dramatic and modern-day comic book character storytelling. It's not too dark, but it's got some realistic darkness to it and this and that. You know, we can go into that, but that's a different
right.
show. But to me, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. really kind of feels like each episode is a comic book. It almost feels like a comic book story in one of the old vintage comic books where it was a story contained in that issue, you know? And they would have continuing stories and things like that, but
sure.
I kind of feel like that's more of the feel of this. And I like that. I like that. It's different than your modern-day comic book storytelling, but I don't mind that.
Right. I agree. I think that is a good analogy. I feel like the Marvel films give us a little bit more, you know, in a shorter amount of time. You know, I mean, even though a movie, you know, like a Thor, The Dark World, or Captain America 2, or Avengers, or something like that, you know, it's only between 2 and 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
They present so many different things, so many different ideas, and, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D., obviously, over the season, will present, you know, many more hours worth of stuff, but they like they have said, like the showrunners have said, they really are doing a slow burn over the whole thing.
Yeah.
Even though I feel that this episode really picked up and has introduced some more, you know, mystery and also, I'm trying to figure out how to phrase it, you know, just some more, you know, backstory and history of things that we may not know about yet. It's just, it's kind of deepened, the world that the characters live in but we don't understand what the boundaries are at this point. But there have been some things that have been exposed that, you know, now, oh, cool, we've got some room to grow. It doesn't feel so confining. I guess early episodes, it felt like we were on the bus, we had these characters, and that's all we really ever talked about, all we ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
And to have a show like this, especially I think with the vibe that they're trying to get, and they're starting to lay the groundwork a little bit more in this episode, and it seems like that this is something that they're moving forward with towards Captain America 2 Winter Soldier, you know, is showing the cracks in S.H.I.E.L.D. But you have to expand, like we've talked about on the show before, and see some other agents, get to see some other ways of doing business with the within the organization. Like when we saw Victoria Hand, like when we went to the hub. And then we get to see Agent Garrett and Agent Tripp this week, or Agent Triplett, which I was waiting for him to, like, do something and split into three people. But he doesn't appear to have any superpower at this point. So.
Oh, dang it.
Well, let's get into some questions about this. I've got a whole bunch of things here, and feel free if you want to talk about anything before anything else here in the notes. We can just jump around. But I think kind of as an overarching theme that, like I said, is coming out in this episode of S.H.I.E.L.D., and it seems like something they are ramping up to for the Winter Soldier, which, based on the trailers, appears to be about a splinter group within S.H.I.E.L.D., mm-hmm. like a group of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents that feel that they are not doing the right thing and wanting to get away. It raises the questions, is S.H.I.E.L.D. really diabolical? I believe it was Agent Simmons who mentioned that all the stuff that they did to Coulson sounded very diabolic, and Fitz agreed with her. Now, we find out that it wasn't even a S.H.I.E.L.D. facility, and I want to talk about that a little bit later as we get more into talking about the guest house. But what are your thoughts about S.H.I.E.L.D. in terms of the overall organization? Do you think that they are setting it up to be this kind of diabolical organization? And if so, is our team of the 616, you know, guys on the bus, are they the good guys?
Well, I'm going to answer that one first. Of course, our team is the good guys.
Okay.
That, you know, I would say for sure. Now, as far as, you know, our point of view, they're the good guys. And I would, I mean, I don't know for sure, but I agree that they're tying into Captain America, with the storyline and with S.H.I.E.L.D. as an organization. I don't know that at this point I see them as diabolical, maybe more like corrupt, you know.
Okay.
like maybe certain people within the organization are kind of vying for power, or you know, they see what they want to do as the right thing. I mean, they may even think what they're doing is right, but it's starting to skew
right, that's
off
the best
into
kind
weird
of villain.
Directions, right? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
This is the villain that always thinks, you know, they're doing things because they feel it's the right reason to do it, not just because they want to kill and murder puppies.
Right. That's <Yeah. laughs> they have a special division of S.H.I.E.L.D. just for that. Yeah. So, yeah, that's called the Doghouse, I think, is where you said
K-E-N-N-E-L.
Oh, how sad. Right now I don't see them as diabolical, but maybe like I said, you know, more of a corrupt organization. I think according to the trailers of Captain America, it looks like that's kind of where they're going there too. And I can see, I don't know if this will happen, but I mean, I could see, you know, Coulson and his team working with Captain America, or at least working towards the same goal as Captain America.
Sure.
So, and you know, Captain America is not corrupt. I mean, it just goes against everything Captain America is. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I would hate for them to do some kind of, you know, oh, we're going to, you know, mess with people's expectations and change him around or something like that. So,
based on how they've been building this world, I can't imagine that they would throw something like that to the fans.
Right.
Because it's such a huge, powerful, influential fan base. I don't think they would do that.
Right.
But.
Oh, I thought you meant like the fans of the helicarrier. Like, you know, throwing stuff into the fan.
They might do
that.
That's
what you meant.
That's where they throw the puppies, I think.
Yeah. You know, but this is stuff for another podcast. I think I really would like to do a kind of a review of Winter Soldier once it's out. But anyway, getting back to my original question. So I had asked if, you know, our team are the good guys. And you seem to, you know, jump right on and answer that early on, you know, very emphatically. Let me just raise a couple points that I see in this episode with you, because I think Coulson is, I think he is a good person. I think he has a moral compass, and we have been seeing it point north quite a bit lately, because he has been questioning the orders he's been given in this episode too. He doesn't comply with the order that he's given. This happened a couple episodes ago. He said he didn't care if Skye, you know, needed to be protected. He needed to tell her the truth. He also shared his eyes only, you know, super secret level 10 Back from the Dead book or whatever, you know, with Fitz and Simmons. So, you know, he's trying to do what's right. Now let's look at Agent May. We don't know too much about her, but what we see from her in this episode is she beats the living snot out of an unarmed prisoner, you know, that is in their custody. From a TV show perspective,
mm-hmm.
I get that. It felt, you know, it's an emotional release for the audience because, you know, he's the bad guy and that's, you know, that's what you do, I guess. But I don't know. It just that doesn't. There's something about that just doesn't really sit right with me.
Yeah, yeah. I can see that. And you know, it's hard to say these days, especially good versus bad, because there's almost like these gray areas. And you know, Agent May taking matters into her own hands in that case would be, well, I don't know. It's a dark gray area. You know, because
right.
Obviously it's not right. She didn't kill him. You know. She beat him up a few times. But I still think that they're the good guys. I still think Agent Coulson is sort of that symbol of someone that doesn't just always follow orders. You know, he actually thinks about them, and if he decides, wait a minute, you know, what they're asking me to do is not right. That's, you know, this is, I should be doing something else. He does that. You want to know that your hero is smart enough and capable enough to go against authority if authority is wrong.
Right.
And you know, and part of me just holds out hope that that's what it is, what I believe it to be. You know, I mean, I could be completely wrong. I have been many times because of that sort of attitude as, you know, yeah, they got to be the good guy because, you know, obviously they're the good guy. That's our hero, right? So,
right.
But valid question, valid concerns from your part. Still deserved it though.
I guess I was just gonna, you know, I'm just thinking that they appear to be a government sanctioned organization, though we're led to believe that they are a shadowy kind of operative group within the government, but that's never been explicitly stated.
No.
You know, we assume they're kind of like a CIA, FBI, NSA sort of group, but they could have their own charter, right? They don't necessarily have to follow like the Geneva Convention or something like that. So,
well, and
you know,
I'm gonna show my ignorance here, but it seems like they have international branches, or at least they cooperate with international branches of a similar nature.
Well, they seem, yeah. I mean, it was a SHIELD headquarters. It was a SHIELD trauma center in Zurich that they stopped at in this episode. The Jacques Trom, or something like that, I believe, was what it said on the doors. And yeah, I mean, they have bases all around, I guess. I mean, they're a worldwide organization, and you would expect something like that to have. I don't know. You know, again, well, you know, if it's international, is it really under the purview of the, you know, within the U.S. government? Probably not. Is it, you know, is it part of NATO? Or, you know, who knows? anyway, it just, it raised some questions. You know, you've got this guy who, you know, by all rights and purposes, he really deserves to be beaten up like that. And, you know, Ward was kind of, I felt like he was provoking May, you know, like, well, like, he really deserved it. And, you know, is your hand okay? And that kind of stuff. You know, it wasn't like, and, you know, Coulson just told her to stop it. He didn't say, you know, how dare you? You know, like, you know, we don't do this kind of stuff. So, you know, it basically he condoned it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And she could get away with pretty much anything, I think. They would let her. I mean, I think he's you know, Coulson's close enough with her and trusts her enough that I think he would pretty much let her go as far as she thought was necessary. But in this case, they had to kind of stop her. So, I you know, I don't know. This guy's just hated enough, and I guess they're so close to Skye, apparently, after all they've been through this season, I suppose. That was one kind of little complaint, I guess, I had this episode of just their attitude towards Skye and how close they seem towards Skye, even though they really haven't had any reason to have that kind of connection with her. But
it seems like there's a lot of stuff, you know, that has gone on now. I mean, you know, they've been together, you know, 13 episodes, you know, more than 13 weeks, you know, our time. You know, what have they been doing, you know, in all that time? Obviously, you know, because I think between 1 week, you know, Skye was made an operative, operative in standing or whatever like that, and got Ward as her SO. And the next week, she was all studied up on a bunch of stuff. And so, you know, there's obviously some time that passes in between each of the episodes that may or may not be the same as a week, because obviously this is immediately following the previous episode. It wasn't that any time had passed at all. So, but it's true. The relationships that were going on may not they may not have shown all of the moments that it, you know, took for the team to get as close as they are to Skye.
Yeah.
Now we have seen a number of other SHIELD agents on the show. I don't want to make it sound like we haven't. We've met ex-agent Akila Amador, I believe. She was the one from I Spy that had the implant, and she died. And then we've met Agent Hand, who is similar ranked, I guess, to like a Nick Fury kind of character. We've seen Nick. We've seen Maria Hill on the show. And we've gotten the other agents that we've seen in the Marvel one-shots, played by Titus Welliver. And so it's Sitwell and... can't remember the Titus Welliver agent's name, but this week we get Agent Garrett, played beautifully by Bill Paxton. I thought Paxton was perfect for this role. I thought no nonsense, just very tough.
Yeah, he did a good job. It was a definite Bill Paxton role there. It was kind of like Agent Chet Wyatt's jerk brother from Weird Science, you know. I mean, he really that's who he reminded me of when he talked, but it fit the character perfectly, so it was just fine.
I was trying to look for parts of him. He wasn't as jerky as Chet.
No.
Chet is just a complete douche.
Yeah, but you know, he'd been turned into a disgusting monster, and so he's loosened, he's lightened up a little bit, and he's right. a little bit nicer now, see?
But I thought the way that Paxton delivered some of these lines, you know, it was obvious there was a history between him and Coulson and him and Ward, you know, where it's like, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to go up and knock. And it's like, well, I guess we could, you know, or I could say pretty please. And, you know, he just kind of holds his gun up and he's like, pretty please it is. You know, it's just,
it was good. It was good. What
he
I
kept
really,
it really light.
Yeah, he did. He did. And what I really liked about his character and the way they brought him on was, you know, at first I really felt like it was the show was going to be more about, you know, Coulson versus Garrett and who can, get what they want first? You know, is Garrett going to get Quinn before Coulson gets the medicine he needs for Sky? You know, that's what I thought it was at first. But then they brought them together, and it showed that they had had history, which I really like to see with Coulson, because, you know, Coulson's always been so well respected from the movies and stuff, and everybody really likes Coulson, and, you know, that's what Fury used to get the Avengers together from Coulson's death. You know, that's how he got them to get motivated, right? And so I like when they have agents that have that respect for Coulson, because I don't feel like Agent Hand did, you know, and I don't feel like there's been kind of a handful of other times when it felt like he was, they were just kind of keeping him on the sidelines. So I like it when they present these people that reflect our idea of Coulson. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they're the ones that on the show tell us that he's a good person, even though we know he's a good person, but you need to have the characters on the show point that out, otherwise there's no, it's not reflective.
Yeah, and not just good, but talented, and has a long history of doing big things.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I thought that was good. So I really liked that they didn't drag out too much Bill Paxton's hunt for Quinn. Right. He just kind of came on, and he's like, hey, yeah, this is a nice place. Well, what are you doing? All right, I'll give you a hand, you know, so.
Yeah. I can hang around for a little bit.
He had some pretty good lines there about the bus. And
well, I also liked Agent Triplett. I thought he was a welcome addition to the show. He seemed right at home on the bus and with the characters. Obviously, he knew Ward. You know, a little unease there, but then, you know, once he was told to stand down, he's like, you know, he's just kind of doing his job, right? That's what he was there for. He was to kind of enforce, like you said, he was there to enforce Garrett's will.
And they almost did the same thing with him and Ward, only it was a much more, you know, it was much more played down. But I did like the fight, and then then it stopped. That was good.
Yeah, yeah.
He's now, definitely a company man, you know. I mean, he'll follow orders, and I'm assuming with Garrett, he seems to be kind of his right-hand man, like Ward is.
Right, right. Now, I'm a little concerned. You know, I was concerned, A, on the show that one of them was going to turn out to be a traitor, or, you know, whatever. One of them was going to be bad.
Yeah, that my first thought with Triplett was.
Right. So that didn't happen, or at least didn't happen yet. But that's cool. They don't have to do that every time. And so I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah, something different. I'm glad, too.
I had read an article that Bill Paxton was hired for more than just this particular episode, so hopefully he will be back this season, because, like you said, you know, maybe you'll see me sooner rather than later. I think that's a nice nod to the audience that we will get to see him again. And, you know, hopefully he continues to be an ally of the team, because I like when they bring in other S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, because, like I said, it kind of gives us another... It gives us the mirror to hold up and say, okay, if this is how the organization is, and then this is how our team is, and we can see how our team is alike or different from the organization. And just given these other things that we've heard about with the organization, with them saving Coulson's life and all the mystery and subterfuge and stuff like that, I think we need to have more chances to see how the team is the same or different from the S.H.I.E.L.D. organization. Because they are not living under the thumb of, you know, having to go in and punch the clock 9 to 5. They can kind of travel the world and do what they want and work on the things that they feel are important to work on, which is the other kind of weird thing. You know, they're really not any standing orders about what they're supposed to be doing. They just kind of seem to do their own thing.
They're still doing character development, which, I mean, I guess a series will constantly do, but it still feels like they're trying to really build who these characters are this season, which has taken so much of the season. I mean, we know who each of them is, but they're showing how close they are together and how much of a family and how important Sky is to them. And
well, it's not even them showing how much the family is. It's them saying that she is our family, or we are her family. And then the doctor having to say, I'm sorry, you know, and let's have a moment of silence while we go to commercial. All right.
Oh, your family? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Bummer.
So we find out that the reason that Quinn shot Sky, and he says this through a very bloodied face. I got to say, I really liked the makeup job that they did on the actor that played Quinn, because he looked suitably beat to heck.
Yes, he did.
He said that the reason he did it was because Clairvoyant told me I should. And it's like, well, you've been played. And he said, and, you know, then they start putting it together and realizing, well, wait a second. If the Clairvoyant couldn't see how Coulson came back to life, and we have, you know, this operative shoot one of Coulson's team, someone he cares about deeply, then maybe we'll see Coulson use whatever the technique is to, you know, revive her. Aren't they just, I mean, by doing this, by letting emotion rule them, aren't they just playing into the Clairvoyant's hands to see, you know, whatever, what was it that saved Coulson's life, and if he's going to do it again?
Yeah, absolutely they are. But I think Coulson knows that. And he, I don't know that I'd say he's staying one step ahead of the Clairvoyant, but he's, because he's not. But I think he's kind of keeping up with him by, you know, thinking that, okay, look, this is what the Clairvoyant wants, but I need it. I mean, I have to have it. I have to get this thing to save Sky, so we have to do it. There's just no other option. I just will make sure it doesn't go too far. Which he did, although I don't know that, you know, he didn't do it by choice. The place just blew up, so it kind of worked out in his favor, I guess.
Yeah. How does that make Coulson?
I think he's still kind of not letting the Clairvoyant completely take control of the situation.
How does that make Coulson any different from Fury in what Fury did to Coulson?
I think that's kind of one of the themes of this episode. And as a matter of fact, at the end, you know, when he made his discovery, I think that maybe crossed his mind that maybe he had gone too far, that maybe he took steps that he shouldn't have, and that he was kind of doing what Fury did. I don't know. It's hard to say. you're now. The more we talk about it, the more I see where you're really getting that. Is our team the good guys? I still think they are. But good guys make mistakes too. The difference is, and I think we've even spoken of this, but the difference is, when the good guys make mistakes, they learn from them, and they end up either not making the same bad choice again, or fixing what they screwed up.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I feel like the show is really blatant about things like this, like drawing these lines, like, you know, we need to contact her family. It's like, we are her family. It's like, oh my God, you know, it's just like, hello, cheese ball. But then they do other things that are totally unexpected. I mean, right out of left field. And like I said, probably the last 10 minutes of this episode, it had me biting my nails on the edge of my seat. I mean, I didn't know what he was going to find. As soon as the camera started crawling across all the tubes and wires and stuff, I'm like, this is not good. Oh, don't, you know, God knows what's going to be in there. And that's the thing. It's like,
it was way more shocking than anything I had thought of as they were panning around towards those tubes.
Right. So, just one other thing about, there was one other thing I wanted to bring up about the kind of the Fury connection to this, because like you said, you know, our characters are supposed to learn from their mistakes. And it seems like Fury, well, the two situations are relatively different, right? Sky got shot, but she wasn't dead. Put her in suspended animation.
Before you finish, let me say one other thing. I think that helped justify Coulson's actions in his mind.
Right.
So.
Right. And then we found out in this episode that Coulson's heart was actually, like, broken. Like, I mean, again, this seems like really blatant writing. Like, he actually was heartbroken, right? His heart was torn in two by Loki's staff. And, you know, yet he was still brought back, except that he was brought back pretty much against his will. He was telling the doctors the entire time, don't bring me back. Whereas, you know, Sky wasn't gone, and she wasn't communicating in any way like that, at least as far as we know. By the way, I think Chloe Bennett did some of her best acting in this episode. Just kidding, Chloe. nobody does the... well, I guess, you know, the doctors are like, okay, cut away the shirt, except for the part around the boobs, because, you know, they just kind of lift it up and work on the abdomen. Now, of course, that was where she was shot, but the doctors aren't usually so nice, I don't think, when they're working on a trauma patient in such a fashion. And the other thing that I felt that was kind of awkward, if not kind of telling, was just at the end, you know, Coulson comes running back in. He's like, we can't give it to her. We can't give it to her. And then they already given it to her, and he just kind of shut up. And
he's like, well, I tried.
You know, here we've got a biochemist. It's like, what is it? Where does it go? How much do I give? And he's like, I don't know. And then, what did you give her? I don't know what it was, but it saved her life. It's like, irresponsible, very, very, very irresponsible. People, I don't know for sure, obviously, and it's also fiction, but I don't think people in these kind of roles, you know, with these big brains working in organizations like this, are this swayed by emotion. I mean, they've been trained to do things. Like a firefighter just wouldn't stop doing something against his, you know, wouldn't go against his training. I mean, I don't think. I don't know, but it just feels awkward to me, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And and maybe that's not the best word for it, but it takes me out of the moment enough that it makes me see that I'm watching a show. It doesn't keep me wrapped up in it, even if it's, I don't care if you are doing the most implausible thing. If the characters are right and they are doing the right things in the moment and it is the most wild-ass, crazy kind of thing that you can think of that would never happen in real life, but I'm wrapped up in it because of the emotion and the characters and everything like this. But with the stuff that happens in S.H.I.E.L.D., like, I get wrapped up in it, but then they do something like this that kind of throws me back out of it, and it's inconsistent, I guess, is probably a better word for it. The tone kind of switches around.
Inconsistent is good, I think, for describing what it is, but I think when you said awkward, I think that's actually truly what's going on, because it is. It is out of character. It just feels just a little off, in which I would, you know, classify.
It's the hand of the creator. It's the hand of the creator coming in and saying, we need to, all right, we're running out of time. We got to put these characters in this position and set them up for next week. You know, I mean,
yeah,
it's,
and
it's not
and
as
it's
organic.
Convenience for the plot. Right. So it makes it work. But seriously,
it's Deus Ex Machina.
Look, I'm not an expert by any means. I am not a director. I'm not any kind of an actor. But to me, in my mind, it would have felt a little less awkward. You could do it very simply. You know, Fitz and Simmons refusing to get it. No, this isn't right. She's dying. She's seconds from death. And maybe Coulson runs in and you know, this would change the ending a little bit. But Coulson runs in and is you know, screaming at them. Do it now. That's an order. Do it now.
Right.
And they sort of do it, you know, in they do it. Even though they don't want to, you know,
right? The thing; they would be following the orders.
Yeah, and they disagree with it, but they felt the pressure. You know, so right. What I'm saying is, you could still have the same situation, but get it done in a different way that didn't feel
exactly.
as awkward.
Exactly. So, and don't discount yourself just because you're not an actor or director, Josh. You're a very creative person. I've seen your artwork, and you know, you have ideas, and there's nothing that invalidates those ideas just because you aren't working in the industry. I think everybody, you know, has creative ideas about these things. And you know, there are some people that will Monday morning quarterback shows or, you know, movies and things like that, but they don't they don't have the thought up into it. They just say, well, I didn't like that because that was stupid. Well, that's not reasoning. And obviously, you know, the things we're doing here, we're kind of trying to peel away the layers and look at things in a more analytical sort of way. We're not just saying we think this is stupid because we don't like this person or we don't like this actor or things like that. You know, we're actually
right.
delving into the subject matter.
That's very kind of you to say. Thank you. Speaking of, let me tell you how I'd run the government. So
sure.
what I would
okay.
do, no. No, and you're right. And you know, when you talk about it and think about it, you can really, you know, you get different thoughts as opposed to just sitting down and watching something. But
right,
So anyway, but I agree with you. There were just and that was one of my one of my complaints from about this episode, which I thought was a decent episode. I was very entertained. Mm-hmm. I liked it, but there were a lot of those conveniences which I wasn't really fond of. That just sort of. Helped move the plot along, but didn't seem to fit to me, and that was definitely one of them.
Can I just add one other thing that I thought about, and this kind of takes us back just a little bit? Was I was talking about how I enjoyed Bill Paxton's lightness with the character,
mm-hmm.
but the other thing that I noticed was that once they got down into the facility, everybody was saying that they were, you know, we needed to hurry and stuff, but. It kind of lost some of the momentum or the intensity of that. Hey, Skye's back on the plane and she's dying. And, you know, Ward and Garrett go in. Oh, and this is another thing going back to the whole, you know, who are the good guys and stuff like this. Ward and Garrett even more so, they just kill these two guards guarding the facility. I mean, it wasn't like they were using the night-night gun or anything like that. They were using bullets. They killed this guy, and, you know, Garrett comes over, and he's just like, sorry, Bob, which I don't know if that was a shout-out to the director, because the director's name is Bobby, but, you know, that was also one of those little things where it just kind of took me back. I'm like, that's pretty flippant, and, you know, you expect to see that kind of in an action film when you're fighting the bad guys, but this was a facility, I know it's not a SHIELD facility, but it was where, you know, it has some relationship to SHIELD, because... Fury had Coulson brought here, supposedly. I mean, it's got the same instruments that Coulson remembers from.
Yeah, know, well, he had sort of flashbacks, it seemed like, of that particular facility. And
right.
he knew where to go in the room, it seemed like, too.
Right,
at the
and
end.
The one guard thought he recognized him before he died. So he's like, do I know you? And he's like, I think I might have been here before. And then he says something about the timer and dies.
Yeah.
So... Again, that's another, you know, we're just, okay, that's kind of weird having that, again, flippancy about this killing and stuff like this. If, you know, you're supposed to be kind of trained agent stuff, and I can imagine taking out bad guys in a battle like they did with the kind of the super soldiers a few weeks prior, or a few episodes prior, I guess. I think it was the bridge episode before the winter break. But this just kind of felt different.
Well, you know, and
felt
I
like
always
they could use a night-night gun.
To me, and this is maybe not going to seem like a connection right away, but it's another one of those kind of conveniences that I think they kind of rush through on this series. And I've seen other shows where they do this, you know, where they don't really think about that. I mean, it's just kind of mindless violence, and they don't address the realistic. Seriousness.
Yeah,
of that.
The characters need to get into the facility, and so what's these? Oh, we'll just kill these guys. We'll just shoot them. Right?
Yeah, okay, and so. it's too convenient for me. So it's kind of another example of what I meant
okay.
by that.
Okay.
One more, just as long as we're kind of on that, is
sure.
How quickly Fitz and Simmons discovered that with their new little holodeck thing there. Nothing against the technology. Actually, that's kind of cool. I kind of like that.
I enjoyed
addition to
the.
It.
Physicality of that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, pretty cool. You know, very very Tony Stark there, but it needs to take them a little longer, you know. Cut scene, come back, they've been looking at it for
yes.
several hours, analyzing it, and, you know.
They don't have time.
He
we
looks
don't have
at
time.
I know. See, that's why you got to kind of chunk it up, see? So you can use the time you have, but make it seem like more time has passed, you know? So,
yeah.
You know, maybe he's sitting there staring at it like he's been sitting there for hours, and he just happens to look at it from a different angle or something. I don't know. But anyway, just another one. But I do like that new little thing. It seems like they're going to use that probably more often with some new – They must have got a little bonus from good ratings at the beginning of the season, so they could do a little bit extra special effects.
Extra with the special effects, yeah.
Which they did also with the plane connecting,
the planes,
you know,
and
docking.
The guest house. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 all of that. So I like that was my favorite fun moment from the series is when they were docking on the plane and Coulson says, "They scratched my paint, I'm going to be pissed."
Well, and I thought what was neat is that the docking claw was actually, it looked like a bird claw.
It did.
It kind of grabbed onto the plane. So that was kind of cool. Yeah, no, I mean, there were a lot of great little moments about this. And they were spaced out throughout the episode. So it was like, oh, that was cool. Oh, this is kind of weird. Oh, this is neat. We're back to weirdness again. Oh, this is really creepy here at the end. Now there's some weird stuff going on. And then, oh, wow, yay, exciting tag for the end. So I wanted to address the title of the episode. We did this, was it the last episode in Tracks? Was that our last episode?
Oh, I think it was. It was like a few weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, quite a while ago. So Tracks, T-R-A-C-K-S, we kind of went through at least what I thought that might stand for. I didn't know if you had any ideas as to what Tahiti might stand for. I don't know, in your notes you might have jotted anything down.
I didn't jot anything down. I was actually looking forward to always your brilliant insight and ideas on these particular acronyms. So what do you have for me? Tahiti.
Tahiti. T-A-H-I-T-I. Very repetitive letters, so it's working here.
No wonder they spell it out. You know, they sound it out as a word.
Exactly. So I went with this. This was not the first thing I came up with, but this was, I think, obviously I'm trying to be funny with some of these, but I think this has a good shot at being it. I will say therapeutic alien humanoid for isolation, treatment, and incubation.
Wow.
So
you made that up. That doesn't sound like you made it up. That sounds like what it was.
That's good. I know. Isn't that nice? And then we also have got traumatized advanced hybrid irradiated with terminal isotopes. Not really sure what that means, but, you know, it's all
sounds text-speak. Like the way you used to cook TV dinners back in the old days.
Yeah. And then this one is more like you're reading ahead, aren't you?
I'm sorry, I couldn't resist.
This is
this is my favorite
terrestrial
one.
Amputated, held immobile, torso intact. It's more like a, you know, it's like a catalog description of what they have in there.
Okay, that's my favorite one. That's what I'm going to use. That's what I'm going to use.
That's a good terrestrial amputated, held immobile, torso intact. So. So what was that? What the heck was that? It was labeled on the door or on the end of the tube as GH, which when they said GH325, I think that was the right number, back at the beginning of the episode, and they said, oh, well, you know, this is probably this place called the Guest House, so the GH stands for Guest House. Everybody just seemed to agree with that, and then it was dropped. I am speculating that the GH on the tube, it was coincidental that it was also in the guest house, that GH does not mean guest house. That GH stands for something else. Now, initially, I also thought growth hormone, right? Because GH is a common abbreviation here in America on medical things. You know, they'll do a GH something or other, and when they're talking about it as a growth hormone. But my first thought was, oh, it's a Green Hulk. But I felt they probably wouldn't go there. I have no idea what it means. I can't find the description of an alien race that matches what I saw on screen. Now, they always can reimagine species or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it stands for good healing or something like that. I don't know.
Did you find any distinctive features on the thing? that he was looking at in the tube?
Creature?
Yeah.
No, I mean, other than the fact that it looked like it had been blasted by something, right? So my wife's first impression was, oh, it's one of those creatures from Avengers.
Just kind of my gut reaction, you know.
Like, I said it doesn't really look like a Chitauri, though, because they had a different sort of physiology to them, a different... They weren't as slender, I guess. They were more hulking.
Yeah, and I guess the reason I thought that is because of the nature of the show and how there really hasn't been any, alien or supernatural or anything like that in the show so far. And but it's so connected to Avengers, and that's where that came. That was automatically my first one.
So it appears to have been blasted by something or been caught in an explosion that rended the torso from the rest of its body. But the hands. Or at least one hand was intact. It appeared to have five fingers.
Mm-hmm.
It had normal sort of humanoid musculature on the chest. It's a clever way for them to...
That's normal? Oh, geez. I got a long way to go then to be normal.
You got to do the salmon ladder more.
I need to do that, yeah.
It was hairless, but it had ears or ear flaps of some kind, had a nose, it had eyes, had a mouth. Now, I couldn't tell if it was kind of a sneer or if it just had lost part of its cheek.
Yeah, it almost looked like it was missing something there.
Right. So, a lot of speculation online is that it is a Kree, K-R-E-E, which is one of the alien races that had debuted in the Avengers comic series. There are two main alien races in the Avengers universe of comics. I mean, there's a bajillion, but the two main ones are the Kree and the Skrulls. Now, I can tell you two things: that it is not a Skrull because that race of aliens is not available for use in the Marvel Cinematic Universe because it made its debut in Fantastic Four number 2, and Fantastic Four and its associated properties like the Silver Surfer and Galactus are tied up with 20th Century Fox and the Fantastic Four franchise. So we will not be seeing, however much I would love to see Skrulls in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and in like Guardians of the Galaxy or in S.H.I.E.L.D., we probably will not. Now, the Chitauri are a Skrull-like species that were introduced in something called the Ultimate Universe, which is an offshoot of the main Marvel universe in comic books. They had a whole other line called the Ultimate Spider-Man, Ultimate Avengers, things like that. So, not a Skrull, but it kind of has the same color. Skrulls are kind of greenish blue, depending on their, where they're from, whether they're from north or south, I guess, right? The Kree is possible because Kree are green skinned and they're humanoid. So there is a possibility with that. And the Kree tie into other Avenger and Marvel continuity, such as Miss Marvel, who becomes Captain Marvel later. She was an Avenger at some point. There's been talk about having that made into a movie, or her story made into a movie. So there's room for that. Now, there's nothing about the Kree having healing powers, though. So I don't know about that. Someone else also suggested Atlanteans, which are like... people from Atlantis, which would mean someone like Namor, a.k.a. the Submariner. Probably not that either, because the Submariner is tied up with another company. Back in the 90s, Marvel sold off a lot of their properties. Now, some of those have come back to them, but Spider-Man, the X-Men, Fantastic Four, Man-Thing, Namor, I think all those properties belong to other studios right now for them to farm stuff out. Daredevil, Blade, Elektra, and Ghost Rider recently reverted back to Marvel because they hadn't made a film on those in so long.
He did look like he had a bit of a webbed fingers, like maybe something from Ocean, though. So
yeah,
could be related to something. I don't know. I'm not knowledgeable enough. So the whole time you were describing those, I'm like, ooh, that sounds interesting. Ooh, so does that. Oh, that kind of sounds.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of interesting possibilities, and for all we know, it may be they go, oh, this is a... And it's like, all right, that's a new one. We don't know who that is.
Learn how to spell that in the show notes there.
Yeah, I will, I'll transcribe that for you later. So, now, we'd also mentioned, or I had also mentioned before, that the guest house is not a S.H.I.E.L.D. facility. This was made clear a couple different times. Coulson, said that, hey, this is not a SHIELD facility, but, you know, I was brought here, and they obviously don't know the countersign. It's nothing they've ever encountered before. You know, what was the trip to Istanbul? What was it? How was the drive from Istanbul? Which I have no idea what the countersign for that might be. But it begs the question, if this was not a SHIELD facility, who does it belong to that has this kind of technology? Thoughts? Mm. Have you done any homework on this? I asked you to... No.
Well, yeah, that didn't occur to me. See, to me, it almost felt like it was a SHIELD facility, but they were covering it up that they had any
that they were lying
connection
about it being a SHIELD
because of the connection with Nick Fury, because it seemed as if Coulson was there and Nick Fury was responsible for bringing Coulson there. So
that's even worse than it not being a SHIELD facility.
Well, and that's why I'm thinking with the corruption. That's why I was thinking it was more, there's something going on at SHIELD. You know, I don't know. That's the thing. Maybe the people that have been following, that Coulson has been following and taking orders from, maybe that's the corrupt side of it, and there's another side that's working against the corrupt side, and that's who that. So to me, it just feels like it's SHIELD's got its hand all over this.
Hmm.
I mean, even the two guards were there, were SHIELD agents, or at least known by SHIELD agents. What's his name? Garrett knew Bob.
he knew him as Bob because he knelt down over him and he picked up his badge and read
it. Right.
That's
okay.
Why he
right.
said that. I don't feel that there was anything in the episode that indicated they were SHIELD agents or SHIELD guards or they
maybe
were known by these guys otherwise. But.
Maybe that was just a bad assumption on my part. It just felt like SHIELD, even though they said it wasn't a SHIELD facility, even though they said there was no record of it. But see, and the doctor that... Ron Glass played, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He was a SHIELD doctor. We saw him very first episode. We saw him at SHIELD, and he was there in this facility. And Nick Fury was there in this facility.
Where did he go? Where did the doctor go? Because they talk about him like disappearing, going missing.
Mm-hmm. I'm almost think he's in hiding, but I don't know why I think that. I have no reason that he could have been kidnapped just as easily. So, I still think it is a SHIELD facility. I think they're just covering it up, like a, you know, what would you call that? I don't know. Well, it's just SHIELD facility with no record of it.
Disavowed
SHIELD facility. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know if you stayed through the end and watched kind of the tease for next week.
Oh yeah.
But they did a really interesting thing with the trailer logo. They said, "Stay tuned for next week for Agents of SHIELD Uprising."
Uh-huh.
They called it Agents of SHIELD Uprising, and the SHIELD logo briefly, the Eagle logo briefly turns into Captain America's shield for Winter Soldier, the kind of the version of it where the paint's all peeled off of it. I found that really interesting that they are kind of calling the arc that's coming up here Uprising. And, you know, again, I feel this, you know, it's all coming together. What that is, I don't know, but it's food for thought. I think definitely.
Maybe they're having a crossover with the Tron cartoon.
Oh, the one that was canceled. No, let that not be the case.
Hey, so. Hey, let's not bring that up. That's very personal to me.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I know.
All
right, you can decode that on the grid later.
Yes, I will. I will. I like that they kind of gave it a name, and it seems like they've got a bigger story coming ready for the end of the season. So, and it seems like it is going to be connected very closely to Captain America coming to a theater near you.
Yeah, what I think will happen would be what I'd like to see is that there's this build up. Then April 4th, we get to see the Captain America movie. So that would mean that there's two more episodes of SHIELD prior to the movie being released. And then after the movie, they're, like I said, they may have a break at that point because of spring break time. Then we come back and there's kind of the fallout from the movie that takes place in the episode. And, of course, you don't have to have seen the movie, but you're going to know some stuff happened, I think.
Oh, sure. Yeah, how can you not? And they'll sum it up somehow at the beginning of the episode, I'm sure, or the episodes.
Right. I was concerned with the Thor tie-in that they did earlier in the year that we were going to have to know something. And, I mean, if you saw the movie, you knew that they were the reason they were at Oxford, I think was that's where they were, was that, you know, there had been this battle on the grounds there, and they were just helping clean up. So maybe they'll be picking up pieces of Helicarrier out of the Potomac or something like that. So,
jeez.
Oh, and speaking of...
Please,
so
no.
they're flying in to this medical facility in Bethesda, which is in Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C., and I'm like, where are they going to land this plane? There is nowhere to land over near Bethesda. And my wife's like, well, they could go to Andrews Air Force Base. And I'm like, that's on the other side of the Beltway. Then they have to take their truck. I mean, that's ridiculous. They could go to National, but that's not really that close. I don't know what they were thinking of. But they never actually got there, so that was okay.
They need you as their agent for traffic control, air traffic control, I think.
Well, okay, so now, okay, while I'm talking about them flying around, every week on Wednesday when I go into the comic book shop, the owner, Rusty, of Cosmic Comics here in Catonsville, Maryland, nice shout out to you, Rusty, there, he's always complaining about the fact that where the heck are they flying? They started in Malta, in Italy, because that's where Sky got shot. They flew to Zurich to get her some treatment. That didn't work. They put her on the plane, and they were going to fly to Maryland. But then they got turned away. Agent Garrett got on the plane, and they said, we need to go to this other facility, the guest house. So they turned the plane around and flew to wherever the guest house was. And then they leave the guest house. Again, they did not leave it the same way they found it. And they fly off. Where the heck are they flying to? He's like, what are they doing? They're just up in the air, just circling around? How do they get from Europe over to America so quickly? I'm like, well, they never really made it to America. We don't know where they turned around from or whatever. But his thing is that, you know, once you're on the plane, you don't know where you're going. They must eat up so much gas.
Well, it's two things. Number one, see, I told you Fitzsimmons had time to figure that out. See, they just needed to cut back and forth. And the other thing is, remember, you know, Skye's about to die. She's like on the edge of death, and they're just popping around the globe in the plane. So it's one of those conveniences.
It is. It's a matter of convenience. It's suspend your disbelief. Pay no attention to where May is flying the plane right now.
Yeah. Well, and I can suspend my disbelief for things like that for this.
Yeah.
But
it's funny, though. It's like I said, though, every week that it's on, he watches the show, and then I come in, and I'm hearing him talk to somebody. He's like, and then they were flying the plane somewhere. And I'm like, oh, he's talking about S.H.I.E.L.D. again. It's great. He's very funny.
Very nice.
I just want to take a few minutes and talk about the end of the episode with this Valley of Death and this very strange woman who comes up and says some words to this newlywed dude, and then he just takes off with her. Are you familiar with Lorelei?
No, I swear. We were just friends. She was in one of my classes in college, but I didn't. I mean,
it's okay because even if you did, I wouldn't blame you because she has the power to sway men, which is probably why in the teaser for next week, Lady Sif is sent to fight her because she would be immune to her powers. My wife was complaining about this, of course, because she's like, see, men are all just pigs. Look at this. They're just fawning all over. I'm like, hi, did you boobies. and then I shook my head and got out of it. No, Lorelei is a great character. She's actually the younger sister of the Enchantress, which is an Asgardian female character called the Enchantress. And Lorelei is her younger sister and has the ability to, when either... It depends on whose version you're reading. Sometimes she has to kiss them. Sometimes she gives you something to drink. Other times she uses like a magic spell. But she makes men fall hopelessly, madly, irresistibly in love with her so that they will do her bidding. And I think...
Been there.
I think you are there, dude.
That's just called marriage.
Yeah. I think this is great. I mean, this is a really a cool character. I'm currently actually in the middle of rereading Walter Simonson's run on Thor. They've got a new series of trade paperbacks reprinting his 50 or 60 episode or issues of the story, and Lorelei is a major player in that plot line. She makes him drink some golden mead and makes Thor fall in love with her so that he will do her bidding, but of course he doesn't realize that's what he's doing. He doesn't know it's her because she's kind of in disguise. So, but she's a redhead in the comics and stuff like this, and I thought that was really cool the way they put that tease in there. I was not expecting to get a little tease ahead to the events of next week, but looks like it should be good. The phrase that I saw in the commercial that they were running was "Sif happens."
So that's pretty good.
Yes, they went there.
it was good. It was a good little tease. I like that they do the teases on the show. I think it's good, and they need to do more of them, and they need to keep connecting the shows, and they need to keep putting super characters.
Right. Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. And I feel that it's great because this tease, we finished the episode and we got a tease that presents us and gets us eager for the next episode. It's not a tease that is just a tease to tease us about something that may or may not happen anytime soon or just a funny little aside. It actually helps, like you said, connect the show to the next show. You know, so that you want to come back. That's what a teaser should be doing. It shouldn't be raising a question that you're not going to get back to for five or six episodes.
Yeah, I like what, like Graviton? Is that remember Graviton?
Yeah, that was what? That was 12 episodes ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
11 or something like that. So,
and he's still around. Still got potential there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He'll be back. He'll be part of the Suicide Squad. No, that's a different franchise.
That's different, yeah. But
this is great. I feel like we had a lot to discuss this week. After kind of a drought of being able to discuss some things about the show, there was a lot to dissect in this episode.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff in this one. A few little tweaks still, but they're starting to find a stride. It's good.
Yeah,
and in the meantime, you know, we get some good comic book juicy goodness in there every once in a while.
Agreed. So that's about all we've got for this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files.
Well, I hope you enjoyed it, and please make sure you leave feedback for us on iTunes. You can contact us by email at shield@randomchatter.com. You can also go to our Twitter feed, @AgentsPodcast, or our Facebook page, facebook.com/AgentsPodcast.
And also be sure to check out the other podcast that Josh and I do, Green Justice, an Arrow podcast following the TV series Arrow, which is also available here on randomchatter.com. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please be sure to tell all your friends about us. So, for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7. This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.